You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save and improve your marriage no matter where you are. Sometimes I give information that's even applicable if you've just gotten married. If you want to save your marriage ahead of time, that's a great thing to do. Or even if you're kind of at that point where you're not sure how things are going to go, whether you're kind of headed towards the end or whether you can turn it around, this is the podcast to help you turn it around. And today I want to talk about something that I read on the internet that just kind of sent alarm bells up for me. It's probably some of the worst advice I've heard on how to stop a divorce. The headline read, "There are three words to stop a divorce," and I'm not going to point to where it came from because I know it was well-intentioned, but it's bad advice. And those three words are this: I will change. Now, I'm not debating whether change is necessary. I think that in the process of changing a marriage, everything's got to change. You've got to change yourself. You've got to change the relationship. You've got to change how the relationship was going forward. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But the problem is when you make that proclamation. And so the author of that article said that you should say, "I will change," as a way of stopping the process. Now, for me, you know, this is at least a clean little thing. It's not like that reverse psychology stuff that really also bothers me, where you're trying to say, "Oh, I agree with you. We do need to get a divorce," as a way of stopping the process. This is not the reverse psychology. This is supposed to be a way of saying things don't have to be the way they are. So here's the reason I believe this is really bad advice. First of all, when I watch from a distance, there are two categories of problem relationships. One is the one that they've had problems over the years. You know, you've watched the repeated kind of ups and downs of the relationship, and those problems have been there for years, and they've threatened to separate and worked on it, and back and forth, it's gone up and down, and at times maybe some things have gotten better, but then they slide back to where they were. And so here's the problem when you are in that category. That promise has already been made over and over. "I'll change, we'll change, we can be better, we can be different." And so all you're doing is saying the same thing again. Maybe the threat's a little bit bigger. Maybe the spouse is saying, "You know, this is it. I'm done. I'm walking away. I'm getting a divorce." So maybe things are a little more escalated. But in reality, this is the same kind of pattern that's been there before. And that's why this is a problem. That's why this tends to not be effective with that group, because it's already been said before. You know, there's nothing new about the promise to change. The problem is the change hasn't happened in the past, so there's not a whole lot of credibility on why it's going to change in the future. Okay, then there's the other group. And those are the people who were kind of, this is the first time that there's an inkling that there's a marriage problem. Maybe you knew that things weren't as good as you had hoped, but you didn't think they were as bad as your spouse thinks they are. And so here's the problem in that case. When somebody says, without any warning, without any "let's work on this in the past," without anything else, they say, "I'm done, I'm walking away," then there's usually something else going on. Now, I'm not going to be able to tell you what it is that's going on, but whenever I see somebody escalate to the point of saying this relationship is over as kind of the first level of defense, you know, you haven't worked on it, you haven't gone to therapy, you haven't promised to make changes, you haven't promised to change the relationship, you haven't tried to change the habits, none of that has happened. This is the first time this has been spoken. There's usually something else going on. There's something else behind the scenes that you don't know about. Rarely does the word divorce get used at the first sign of problems. So there's something else either in the personality piece of the other person, or there's something else going on behind the scenes that you don't know about. There's something else that's going on. So with both categories, either the one where this is a repetitive pattern where there have been problems in the past, therefore the promises have been made, or when this is the first time and all of a sudden divorce is on the table, this advice of promising "I will change" is going to be ineffective. Usually it's met with a lot of resistance. So there's another piece of this. This advice, "I will change," assumes that you are at fault and you can stop the process just by changing. Now, Let me be clear. I do believe that you're likely to be a contributor to the issues of the relationship. It does take two to tango down the road to problems. You know, sometimes I hear people say, okay, if it takes two to tango, doesn't it take two to tango to get back to a relationship? And my response is, those are different things. It takes two to get a relationship in trouble. One person, though, can say, you know what, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to make some difference. I'm going to figure out a way around this. The problem is when somebody proclaims, I will change, to the other person as a way of stopping the process of getting the other person to reconsider. Here's why. When we say, I will change, it does a couple of things. First of all, it does set us up as the fault. But then let's go talk about five clear things that it does. Number one, it drops your credibility instantly. It drops your credibility because suddenly you're saying, you know, something's wrong. I'm doing all this wrong. And you lose credibility in the process because it does something else. It makes you needy. Right. No. And that's the other piece of this. Number two is it makes you seem needy because now you're begging, you're promising to make changes and you are removed from the partnership position to the needy position. And whenever you're stuck in that needy position, it's going to include a lot of begging and taking on fault and mea culpa. Let me fall on the sword and all those kinds of things that come up with that. Also, number three, it sets you up to fail because when you say, I will change, and you outline the things you're going to change, then you create a microscope. You put yourself under the magnifying glass, the microscope, you're going to be looked at. And anytime you vary from what you've promised to change, the other person is going to go, see, I knew you weren't going to be able to hold up your end of the bargain. You promised to change, and here you are. Not only that, but in subconscious ways, a lot of times a spouse will bait you to fail, will try to get you lured into the place where you can't keep up with what you've promised as a way of testing you. And unfortunately, just by human nature, we all fall short. And so you're going to fail. And that doesn't mean overall you're going to fail, but in an instant you're going to fail. Whatever it is, you're going to fail while you're trying to get better. That's kind of the nature. You know, it's not really failure, but it's going to look like that when you've made the promise. It's kind of like when I watch kids trying to figure out how to walk. You know, they stumble around and they fall and they look all goofy and they have the little Frankenstein walk and down they fall. Was that a failure or was that another attempt? Well, with a child, it's another attempt. The problem is when you've said, I'm going to change, I promise I'm going to change, then you've created a circumstance where it's going to be seen not as your attempts at growth, but as a failure. So what else happens? Well, it makes you the target. Now you've taken on the responsibility. It's your fault, right? You're saying, if I change this, then everything in our relationship is going to be okay. So you've now taken on that place of being a target. You've created a place where the other person is looking at you going, okay, see, I knew that the fault belonged somewhere and you are it. Unfortunately, while that may not be your intention, that's the end result. And the fifth thing it does is it actually increases the anger of the other person for several reasons. One is, you know, that target is going to just create some of that anger. Two is, if there is really something you need to change, and there may very well be, I'm not saying that you shouldn't change. I'm just saying you shouldn't proclaim it. But when you do that, the other person then asks the fair question, why now? Why are you now willing to make the change and you weren't willing to do it before? That's a very difficult one to answer. Now, there is an explanation. There is a reason, but to be able to defend yourself is very difficult. So when you've now said, okay, I'll change, you've created the place where your spouse can say, why are you willing to change now and you weren't willing to change before? Now, for me, there is always kind of a tripwire for why we make changes. That's true throughout our life. No matter what it is you're working to change, there's always going to be something where you say, okay, that's it. You know, it happens when people are trying to take care of themselves, right? Get in better shape. Sometimes it's a tripwire that caused it. I've talked about it in my case was being sick and realizing that I had really put my life in jeopardy because I had not taken care of myself and I'd really allowed my shape, my being in shape to fall away. And for some people, for instance, it might be a diagnosis of diabetes or cancer or some other condition where they go, whoa, I've got to clean up my life. I've got to really adjust. adjust this. I've got to, you know, whatever it is, I've got to stop eating so much sugar. I've got to start exercising, or I've got to start monitoring what I'm eating and how I'm putting it in my body, or I've got to stay out of the sun, or, you know, lots of things come out of that. Lots of changes come out of that because of a tripwire. So it's not that I don't believe in the tripwire. It's just that when you proclaim it's a tripwire, it's very hard for the other person to understand. So what's the tripwire here? The tripwire here is, you know, we kind of get into a pattern, and this is true for all of us. We get into a pattern and we don't recognize that that pattern is continuing to bring us down and spiraling downward. And whatever those bad habits we're creating, both in our own lives and in our relationship, begin to be magnified over time. And so at some point, somebody says, enough's enough. This can't go on like this. And so sometimes a spouse saying, I can't go on like this, this marriage cannot go on like this, is a tripwire. It's a wake-up call. In fact, what I would often say is, well, thank goodness we're at a point where we can get some growth going. We can get a change going. The reality is, when somebody says, I can't stay in this marriage, it's probably true that both people can say, you're right, we've got to change the marriage. That something's got to change. And there are only a couple of things that could change. A person could change, the relationship could change, or the state of the relationship can change. Meaning that the two people in the marriage can decide individually that they've got to grow, that they've got to develop, they've got to move forward, or that maybe the relationship, and it's an and or, maybe the relationship needs to move forward, and or maybe the state needs to move forward, the state of the relationship. Are we together or are we not? Something's got to change. But what a lot of people get in the mistake of believing is that when a spouse says, you know, I can't stay in this relationship, that necessarily has to mean the end of the relationship. It may mean the end of the relationship you've had, but it opens up the possibilities of a relationship that you both will find satisfying and loving. This is that kind of that binary movement I see with people where they believe that it's either or. Either I stay in this miserable relationship or I get out and find my happiness, rather than staying in the relationship and making the relationship something that's going to take them forward. So that's the third option. But sometimes that's invisible to the person who's so frustrated. So see somebody saying, this relationship has got to change, I can't stay in this marriage, as the opportunity for changing, not an opportunity to drop it, to let go of that, to move away from the commitment, but an opportunity to step up and say, you're right, this is not tenable the way it's been. Just don't proclaim that you will change. So what do you do instead? Well, I talk about the three C's of saving your marriage. This is straight out of my material, my book, my best-selling book on how to save your marriage in three simple steps. Those three simple steps are the three C's. Now, notice I said simple, not easy, but these are the fundamental foundational pieces that have to happen. And they are, number one, to connect with your spouse. Number one C, connect. Number two, change yourself. Number three, create a new path for your relationship. So here I have just said that you don't want to say, I will change, and yet I'm saying you need to change. How does that work together? Well, here's the deal. You change. You actually move forward with changing yourself, and you be that change. Don't proclaim the change. You be the change. If you notice how our world often operates, there are great intentions. There are great intentions in our personal lives, at our work, with the government. There are great intentions that often fall very flat. And so we can't judge on what somebody intends. We judge on what somebody actually does. And so when you say, I will change, you're just naming your intention to change. That doesn't mean you've changed in any way until you say, I've got to change. So number one, connect with your spouse. Part of what has to happen in the process of saving a marriage is healing the disconnection that's there, healing the disconnection that's grown over time. And there are several layers to that. But the next piece down, number two, is to change yourself, to look and say, where do I need to grow? How do I need to be a better person? How do I need to be the person that I've meant to be all along? We all fall short. That's just the nature of life. We all have places of growth. And I can say across the board, 100% of people need to change in order for a relationship to work, not because I think that everybody is broken as much as everybody has a place to grow into. Notice I didn't say you've got to heal yourself, you got to fix yourself. I said you have to change, you have to grow, you have to be somebody that you've probably dismissed for a while. Whenever we look at ourselves, we all can name some places that we probably haven't quite moved into that we know we ought to. We just haven't. It's a bit of a human laziness. We get into patterns. We get habituated is the term. We get stuck in our habits become who we are. And so when a spouse says, I can't stay in this relationship, we've got to do something. We got to get out of this relationship or we got to change it or whatever. It's the opportunity, the wake up call to say, I'm going to become who I need to be. I'm going to make this relationship what it needs to be. Connecting and creating a new path with my spouse takes care of the relational piece. Growing, changing myself allows me to be more than I've been. So to wrap this up, let me be clear that I don't think that changing is the bad idea. The problem is proclaiming as a way of stopping a divorce, I will change. Don't proclaim it. Do it. Be that change. You can either talk about it or you can be it, but you can't very easily create the pattern where you proclaim you're going to change and then have someone watching for you and expect that you're going to really succeed. So instead of saying, I will change, be that change. Make your change who you need to be, who you need to grow into. Now, if you're interested, the book, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, you can find it on Amazon. Easiest way to do it is use my shortcut, savethemarriage.com/book. That's savethemarriage.com/book. That's going to give you right to the page where you can find how to really create those 3 different steps to saving your marriage. They're very simple, very direct, not easy, but they're worthwhile if you're ready to really make a change in your life. Now, if you've already got my material, you've already got the system, but you still need some help in how you get that change going, let me invite you to contact me, lee@savethemarriage.com, and we can talk about the virtual coaching program that's going to give you kind of a frame in a very simple, direct way of creating those changes you need in your life. So you can find the material easily. Savethemarriage.com/book will get you to the best-selling book on Amazon, or you can contact me, lee@savethemarriage.com, and we can talk about the virtual coaching program. This is Lee Balcom warning you not to proclaim, I will change, but to be that change as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.